Good evening. Thank you for joining us in this conference call tonight. I'm Alan Little, Vice President of Communications, and it's my pleasure to be your host tonight as we discuss the refugee crisis, particularly the needs of the refugees in the Middle East. I'm joined tonight by Vernon Brewer, founder and CEO of World Help, who will be sharing about his recent trip to the refugee camps along the Syrian border. While there, he met with displaced families and our national partners, listening to their needs so that he could share them with you. Tonight, he'll tell you about the conditions of the camp, why this time of year is particularly challenging for refugees, and what you can do to help. Just a few quick notes before we begin. During this call, if you would like to give to help the refugees, please visit our website. Our website address is worldhelp.net/refugee. That's worldhelp.net/refugee. It takes as little as $35 to provide essentials like blankets, heaters, emergency food, medicine, and much more for one refugee. After Vernon shares, he will take a few questions from the audience. If you'd like to submit a question, please send us an email at questions@worldhelp.net. That's questions@worldhelp.net. Or send us a message on Facebook. You can also tweet Vernon directly using his handle, which is @VernonBrewer. We'll try our best to answer all of our questions as we have time to answer them. Also, for those of you who want to share this recording with your family and friends, we'll be sending out an email tomorrow with a link to the audio, and you'll also be able to share a video that we'll be recording of Vernon talking on Facebook tomorrow. And finally, just want you guys to know that we've changed some of the names of the people that Vernon will be discussing tonight in his message to you guys, just for their safety. And now I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Vernon.
Thanks, Alan. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you taking a few moments to learn about the current refugee crisis. There are a lot of misconceptions about the global refugee crisis, but I think the number one misconception is that many people think the crisis is over because it's no longer in the headlines and no longer on the news. And it's true that pictures of refugees fleeing their countries no longer dominate the news, but that doesn't mean these people are no longer suffering. There are actually 68 million refugees worldwide as we speak. And 1 million Syrian refugees are on the Jordanian border, where Alan and I and Tom Thompson just returned from just a day or so ago. In fact, we're still very jet-lagged from that grueling trip. And there are another 3 million refugees in Iraq, where World Help continues to work with refugees in need. And I think it's important to realize that even though ISIS has fallen off the news, there are still pockets of terrorists, and many women have been forced to watch the terrorists behead their husbands. Many men have been forced to watch the terrorists rape their wives, and even the smallest of children have been mutilated. And these people have been bombed out of their homes. They fled their countries with just the clothes on their back. They have nothing to go back to. They're living in some of the most unsanitary conditions. And while we were there just a few days ago, visiting with families that have been living in refugee camps, some of them for several years now, we realize that their needs are still very real. They're still very life-threatening, especially this time of year with winter approaching. And because you've called in tonight, I assume that you know how urgent this need is too, and want to know firsthand what is happening there on the ground. And as Alan mentioned earlier, you can make a financial gift to help these refugees survive. We've made commitments to many of them, and we're keeping many of them alive. And every $35 you give provides $189 worth of life-saving supplies. And some of you might be wondering, well, how does that work? And how does my gift multiply like that? It's because World Help receives donations of critically needed aid to our warehouses here at our headquarters from businesses and corporations around the country. And these include essentials like emergency food and blankets and coats and shoes and clothing and medicine and all kinds of life-saving supplies. But without funds to ship these valuable items, they can't reach the refugees who need them the most. So a portion of your gift allows for these costly items to be shipped to refugees who need them, and increasing the value of your gift to more than 5 times. And I think that's incredible. So when you make a gift, you are literally helping to save a life. We have rescued and impacted over 132,000 refugees, most of them Syrian refugees, just in the past 12 months alone. And our first day on the ground there on the Syrian border, I met Tara, and she and her husband and her 4 children have been refugees since 2013. And as soon as the Syrian civil war arrived in their town and the bombs started falling and the houses were exploding and chaos everywhere, they knew it was time to get out. First of all, can you imagine bombs being dropped in your neighborhood and your neighbors being mutilated and murdered in your front yard and your neighbors being beheaded and having to flee with just the clothes on your back? And their time, since they arrived in Jordan on the border, their time in the refugee camps has been extremely difficult. Most of her family, including her 12-year-old daughter, works in the fields around the camp just to earn a living. And they're not even technically allowed to work because of their refugee status. So that means everything is under the table and the farmers don't have to pay them a fair wage. So they make very little doing this back-breaking work and not even making nearly enough money to meet all their needs, not even making enough money to supply enough food, and they go to bed hungry every night. When I met Tara, her greatest need was medicine for her children. Almost all of them were already sick from the cold, and they were coughing and miserable. Some of them had fevers. I could hear them wheezing as they struggled to breathe, and luckily, the World Health-supported clinic has been able to provide enough medicine to treat the problem for now for her children, but they'll need more to get them through the winter. The worst is yet to come, and not to mention warm clothing and heaters and just the things they need to fight the brutal elements. And I know most people, when they think of the Middle East, they think of it as being very hot, not cold, but I can definitely attest that this time of the year, it is bitterly cold already. When we were there, the temperatures were in the low 40s at night, but in the coming days, the temperatures will drop well below freezing, and it's going to be a very rainy season this winter too. And many families told us that the rain leaks into their tent, soaking everything and making the cold even more bearable. And most of these refugees that I saw only had a thin jacket, and few of them had enough blankets for the whole family. So they have to wrap what few warm clothes they have around them just to make do and try to stay warm. It was very gut-wrenching, very heartbreaking to see them in this condition. And of course, the coldest months of the year aren't even here yet. January and February, the cold will literally become deadly. And freezing to death is a very real threat, especially for the small children and the elderly.
Vernon, earlier you mentioned to me that you met a family there who said that one of their greatest fears was simply being able to protect their kids from the cold. Can you tell us about that story?
Yeah, I met a man, I'll just call him Arman. That's not his real name, but they're so fearful of the terrorists finding out where they are and finding out who they are. They're very hesitant for us to use their real names. But Armin had 6 children. He couldn't afford heating. So they resort to burning plastic bags and whatever trash they can find around the camp area. They do this inside their tents with the flaps closed. And this is bad for their lungs to breathe in these toxic fumes, especially for his youngest daughter, who has been sick most of the time. But they don't have a choice. It's the only way they can keep warm. And his family needs supplies just to make it through the winter. And he has no way to feed his family without the support of generous people. And fortunately, the day we arrived, we were able to give them a month's supply of food and clothing and hygiene items and electric heaters. And it was truly an urgent need that they have. And that's why I said earlier, every $35 given can provide life-saving supplies to people like Armin and his family who are in need. And also, if you can possibly help us, your gifts don't just meet the vital physical needs. They also powerfully demonstrate the love of Christ and help open the doors for people to hear the gospel. As unbelievable as it may sound, in the last 12 months, we have seen, with just our partners on the ground in our clinics and in our schools and in our aid distribution, we have seen over 1,000 Muslims become Christ followers. And I asked them, what is your evangelism technique? And they say, we don't have an evangelistic technique. We just meet the needs of people, and they ask us why we're doing this, and we tell them about the love of Jesus, and they're so grateful that they receive Christ and his love.
That's incredible, Vernon. Yeah, on your last email, you mentioned a little bit about a specific outreach that World Help has there that you have seen the spiritual side of our work coming to life. Do you want to share a little bit about that story?
Yeah, we support several medical clinics right on the border. One sees 200 patients a day, and one goes from camp to camp seeing another 100 patients a day. And these have doctors and nurses who are paid, and they have plenty of medicines for the people. But I have to admit that medicine's quickly running out. But we visited one of our medical clinics in the camps where the refugees can come and get this free medical care thanks to our compassionate donors like yourself. And while they're there, many of them find spiritual healing as well. And when the refugees realize that there's something different about the Christian doctors and the Christian nurses, they want to know what it is, so they just ask them, and that often leads to them hearing about Jesus for the first time. And one family that just stands out to me, I was just in their little one-room home, about 10 by 12, where six people were sleeping on the floor. They're the Zinn family, and Mrs. Zinn came into the clinic for treatment, and she received Christ, and for the first year, she was what I would call a secret believer, because if her family members found out, her life could be threatened. But throughout the year, she became more open about her faith. And now, one by one, her entire family has become Christ followers. Her 12-year-old daughter, the terrorists tried to rape her, and so, but one by one, they become believers, and it's just wonderful to see how by providing the medical needs of one woman led to her entire family becoming followers of Jesus Christ. And one of the most inspiring stories for me was a year ago, I met a young woman in the refugee camps. Her name was Aria, and when she and her mother were in Syria, and they were cooking and had a pot of boiling oil on the stove when a terrorist bomb split their house in two and exploded, and it caused her to be burned. When the stove caught on fire and area caught on fire, and she received terrible burns all over her body, and her family couldn't begin to afford the surgery she needed to treat the burns and the scars and the infections that went along with that. And she was in so much pain, and she was embarrassed and hated to look at those scars that at one point she even tried to end her life. And when I met her a year ago, she was so discouraged, never smiled, so self-conscious, so defeated, no hope. But because of generous donations, World Help was able to supply the surgeries that she needed. And she was able to hear about Jesus Christ. And after about 4 months, they emailed me and said that Aria had become a Christ follower. And when I went back this time, I almost didn't recognize her. She was smiling from ear to ear. She's one of the sweetest people you'll ever meet. And when I met her a year ago, she was sad and depressed and didn't have anything to live for. Now she's such a bright example of a forever changed life. And when we talk about help for today and hope for tomorrow, Aria now has hope. And I know I've told you about the needs of refugees many times, but please don't get tired of hearing their stories. They desperately need our help, and so much of the world has already forgotten about them. And one of the most tender moments was when our partner called all the doctors and nurses in with 200 people out in the waiting room, and they gathered to pray before going out, and they told us that Aria was volunteering her time in the medical clinic. And he asked this new follower of Jesus Christ if she would lead in prayer. And unashamedly, she prayed one of the most beautiful prayers. And what a beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ can do in a life that's been changed. And on one of our final days on the Syrian border, we spent time in a refugee camp. And these people are so close to home. They're just a mile or two from the border and just 30 or 40 or 50 miles from their home. But at the same time, they're so far away. And really, there is no home to go back to. The Syrian civil war has been going on for 7 years now. They still don't know when they'll be able to return home. They were starving and cold. Each one of them's been through what I would call unbelievable trauma. And one family told me that they had fled Syria and they watched as their home was bombed and destroyed. And I tried to put myself in their shoes and imagine the pain and the agony that they're going through. And I met Tariq, who I spoke about in my latest report from the field on Facebook this past week. And Tariq lost two brothers, his mother, and an uncle in the war. And another woman says she worries daily for her mom and brother who are still in Syria. And she worries that they'll be killed and that her 8-month-old son will never meet his grandmother or uncle. And for now, her biggest worry is how she's going to keep that baby alive during the winter. These families, they've been through so much. It's tragic. And so tonight, for a moment, I just want to ask you to put yourself in their shoes. What would you do? Imagine if you'd lost everything and had to leave your home. You couldn't even feed your kids. Your kids cried themselves to sleep for hunger every night. They were sick, fevers, no way to help them, no blankets, no way to keep warm. What would you do? I know I would be desperate, and if I saw one of my family members suffering like that and was helpless to do anything about it, it would be so discouraging. And I would be praying every day for God to send someone to help. And I had many people tell me, "You're an answer to prayer. We've prayed for someone to come and help us. You're the first people to help us." I heard that over and over. So we can't forget these people. Many of them are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And there are many others that could become our brothers and sisters in Christ if someone simply opened the door for them to hear the gospel. January and February are just around the corner, the harshest months for refugees. So will you please, I'm begging you, will you please help us and give what you can? And will you ask yourself tonight how many refugees you can help provide emergency supplies to? And as the Christmas season continues to get busier here at home, please don't let the needs of the refugees get put on the back burner of your mind. When Jesus came to earth that first Christmas, he was on a rescue mission to save us. And what better way to celebrate him than this Christmas by helping rescue a refugee in need? So far, as I mentioned, in 2018, we've been able to help more than 132,000 refugees by providing emergency aid, seen 1,000 of them become Christ followers. And for every person that has helped these refugees, I am so grateful. But what I want to try to tell you tonight is the need is still so great. There are so many more refugees waiting for help to arrive, and they're dreading the winter months, and they're uncertain how they're going to survive. And without your help, we won't be able to provide them with the winter supplies they need. So, again, I'm begging you to please help them this winter. Actually, any amount you can give will help. It will provide life-saving supplies and medicine. It will cover the shipping costs to send containers of food. And we still need to raise, in the next 3 weeks, $250,000 before the end of the year to meet the promises and the commitments we have. And I just can't tell them no. I just can't bring myself to say, I'm sorry, we came up short of what we promised we would do. And I just can't tell these struggling refugees no. So every dollar you donate can get us closer to raising that $250,000 to provide the food they need and to send the containers and to give them the help they need for these winter months. And I know that sounds like a lot of money, but if each one of you will just do what God lays on your heart, if you'll share this plea with your friends, either on Facebook or share the link tomorrow that we're going to send you, that you could be a vital part in helping us with this gift of any amount to save these refugees and to impact their lives and ultimately see many of them come to Christ.
Thank you, Vernon. It's always insightful to hear firsthand what life's like for these refugee families. And it's also just a good reminder of how desperate the situation is there. For those of you listening at home, don't forget that there are several ways you can get involved. First of all, you can pray. Like Vernon said, these people are entering one of the most dangerous times of the year for them, and they could definitely use your prayers. And secondly, you can give. As we've said multiple times, every $35 given will multiply to provide $189 worth of the most urgently needed supplies for a refugee this winter. So all you have to do that is go onto our website, worldhelp.net/refugee, to make a tax-deductible donation there. Or you can also call in. You can call the World Help offices during our office hours at 800-541-6691. That's 800-541-6691. And finally, as Vernon said, you can share this with your friends and family. It's important, and many of your friends might be interested in an opportunity to get involved. As I mentioned at the beginning, we'll be sending out a link to this audio recording, and we'll also be posting a video on Facebook tomorrow, so I hope you'll share that with people that might be interested in joining. It's going to take all of us to raise this $250,000 to impact thousands of refugees, and it's an urgent need, and we have to get to them before the worst of winter sets in. In just a moment, we'll be transitioning to answer some of the questions that have been submitted. But before we get to that, I want to ask Vernon if he could just pray for us, if he could ask God just to lay on our hearts the people that we're hearing about and also provide them some protection during this difficult time.
Father, you've promised to be the father to the fatherless. And I bring before you these refugees who've been through so much, who have suffered so much, who have so very little. Father, I pray that you'll meet them in their time of need. I pray that you'll use us as followers of Jesus to be the hands and feet of Jesus on the ground to do something about this crisis. I pray that we'll be the ones that will say, we will not forget them. We will not forget. And we just pray for them that you'll wrap your presence and your loving arms around them and fill them with your presence now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Vernon. And thank you, everyone that submitted questions. Obviously, we don't have a lot of time left. We want to honor your time. But I've selected a few of the questions that we can quickly answer here. This first one is interesting. It says, obviously, many of the refugees have experienced extreme trauma. How is World Help helping these people and their mental health during this time?
Well, you know, the children are the ones that suffer the most. One of the teachers in our school we just talked to said when these children first start going to these informal schools because refugees can't attend the public schools, they ask them to draw pictures of what they're thinking. And the children draw little stick men and women with bombs and knives and guns and explosions and people being beheaded. And it just shows the degree of trauma. And after a lot of time of loving counseling by trained professionals in our clinics and the doctors and nurses, and after a few months of being having the social interaction in the schools, their pictures turn to those of family members and more wholesome thoughts. And so not only do they have a lot of physical wounds, they have a lot of emotional wounds that many people don't even realize that are there, and we're helping to meet those needs.
Great. All right, and then the second question that I'm going to ask is this one specific to ISIS. Obviously, we've heard a lot about them, but this is about their demise. So now that ISIS's power has decreased significantly, will many of the refugees be heading home soon?
Well, many of the refugees carry their house keys on their key rings. Houses that are no longer there, they've been blown to bits as a reminder that they want to go home. But unfortunately, many of them have nothing to go home to. And while some of the areas where ISIS was controlling have been taken back, there are still pockets of terrorism, and they're still afraid to go back, even if they had something to go back to, and especially those that have become Christ followers, because to go back would be a death sentence. And so it's not quite that simple. And lastly, we have to remember that the Middle East is just one of the many areas that have been affected by this refugee crisis. It's going on in Iraq. It's going on in Sudan. It's going on in Nigeria. 68 million refugees around the world. So the need is urgent. And the need of people that need help is tremendous.
Mm-hmm. All right, and the last question I'll ask tonight is, what's the best way to pray for refugees?
Well, I always say, pray for them as if they were your own children. If your children or grandchildren were going through this tonight, how would you pray? Would you pray unemotionally, or would you pray urgently? Would you just go through a checklist prayer, or would you be crying out to God? And I think we can pray that World Help and our partners will continue to have the opportunities to give examples of being the hands and feet of Jesus and be examples of the love of Jesus Christ. I believe it's love that's drawing these men and women to Jesus. And pray that the Christian refugees will stay strong in their faith and that share their faith with others. And we're seeing whole families come to faith, and that's a good sign that they want to change and they believe in Christ. And then pray that God will touch the hearts of not only the people on this phone call, but the people that will see the video on FaceTime tomorrow and receive this in an audio link. Pray that God will touch the hearts of people so that they would be willing to give. You know, when my grandchildren asked me, "Poppy, what did you do to help the refugees in the Middle East?" I want to be able to say, I showed up, I gave them love, I gave them hope, and I pray that you'll do the same thing as well.
Yeah, wow, thank you, Vernon. Thank you for this reminder, and thank you for this challenge. And also those of you listening, thank you for taking the time to call in. Thank you for caring about the plight of refugees and for taking action, starting with tonight, and then also into deciding how you want to respond. Just one more time, I want to give you the website that you can learn more as well as give at. That's worldhelp.net/refugee. And then look in your inbox tomorrow for an email from us that links to the audio as well as to the Facebook Live recording. Thank you again for calling in and have a great evening.